Yes. Or either of Yehuda HaNasi or Rebbe. Rebbe. Yes, correct. So whenever you see a Tana, there is an Amora also of Yehuda, but if you see a Tana of Yehuda, it's Rebbe Yehuda or Rebbe Loi. So that was the first story. The second story was the Matronusa asked him, Moiri veRavi, why are you, you're a Moira, you're teaching, but you're Ravi, you're saturated with wine. And how could you be teaching if you're a drunkard? I see your face gives it away that you are drunk. So he told her, I swear, I'm not drunk. I don't even drink a whole year except for three occasions. Kiddush, Havdalah, and Dalet Kaisis. And even then, I wrap my forehead out of pain for the rest of the Sefira, the 7 weeks. So he told her, therefore, I'm not drunk. My face is shining. That's because Chochmas Adam Torah upon us, because the wisdom of a person makes his face glow. So that was the second case. And then we have a third case. The third story is a tzaduki. Amar lahu, right? We're holding now 3, 6, 10 lines on the bottom. Amar lahu ahu tzaduki le Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi. A tzaduki who doesn't believe in the Torah said to Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi, Panecha doimin, your face is similar. Ikemalve ribis, ikemagad chazir. One of the two. Either you have a business of lending with interest, or kimagada chazirim, or you have a business of raising chazirim. And raising chazirim is something, these are two profitable jobs where what happens is people, these two jobs make a lot of money. The Ran speaks this out. The Ran on the side of the Gemara says, kimagada chazirim, 8 lines on the bottom. Because they make so much money, therefore their faces are glowing. And there's even a Rashi, right? The Rashi says the same thing by Kimalvi Rivas, Shem Marvichim Beyoiser, they're making a lot of money. Beyoiser, more than enough. Pneum Suvim, Beyofen. Therefore their faces are so beautiful and glowing. But there's actually a Rashi in Brachis that says one more. Two more words. Rashi says they're making so much money in a job that requires very little effort. Rashi has two more words that they're also sameach bechelkam. They're happy with their lot, which means it doesn't take much to be happy with their lot, but they are happy with their lot. So they're happy that they have so much money and they're not working hard at it. So therefore their faces shine. Rashi obviously means to say that there's Yeshlai Mana writes a Messiah. If someone's not even satisfied with what he has, so he might not take pride and happiness in his wealth, so he won't be, his face is not going to shine necessarily. So Rashi says, no, he has an easy job. He's making tons of money. He's lending out ribbis or raising chazirim, profitable, and he's enjoying it. So therefore, his face is glowing. So that's what the tzaduki said to Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi. The third person who met Rebbe Yehuda Rilai said, your face is shining so much, you must be that you are doing one of these two jobs. So he said back to Tzaduki, no. Amalei bihudai by the Yidin Travayu Asirin. These two jobs are usher to do. Elo Esrim biarba beisakise isli. I have 24 bathrooms that go from my house, min beisa ad bei medrasha, to the beis medrash. And kol shah v'shani nichnas l'chol echad v'echad. And I basically test myself in a bathroom, one bathroom an hour. And that is the reason why my face is glowing. So according to the, I could show you the Rambam. The Rambam here says, the Rambam says that it's healthy.
Yeah.
A person should not hold themselves back if they need the bathroom. And he says, he puts this under the famous Rambam in Mada about how a person, if they want to serve Hashem, they need to have a healthy body. Because it's impossible to understand Torah and learn Torah and do mitzvahs if a person's sick. Therefore, he says, you have to keep yourself away from things which destroy the body and you have to do things that help you keep you healthy. And if he says you shouldn't eat your meal only when you're getting hungry, not when you're full, you shouldn't drink only when you're thirsty, and va'al yishan nekova v'afilu rega echad, and he shouldn't hold himself back even from 1 minute from using the bathroom. Elokolzman shatzarech lahashin, the minute he needs, yamoid miyad, he should stand up right away. At in halacha aleph, halacha gimel, he says he should try to make it that his insides are loose and he could use the bathroom. And this is a klal gadol, this is a big general principle in refuah, that it won't be choyli royim, sicknesses won't come. And he goes through different things there. What should he drink? So he said he should either drink mei shalakos shel tardin, which is shalakos, we know, is overcooked like soup, of tardin, which is beets, a kruv b'shem and zayis. Or he should have a kruv. A kruv is a gourd with olive oil, which is fascinating because we just saw this.
The gourd is the one that produces that bad spirit.
Now, we saw a few things about the gourd. The first thing we saw on Amud Aleph is that gourds are good for Talmidei Chachamim, who are not really sick, but a little bit, they're weak constitution. They should have gourds. For them, it's good. That was according to three different answers. One answer is it's good even for sick people if it's soft. If it's soft. So according to that, it's good for everyone if it's soft, and sick people also. And the last thing we saw on Mem Tesef and Aleph was that it's good for a choyli to have a soft gourd with the inside of the gourd with a beet. With the right, that was the advice, the folks' advice that we saw. The Rabbi Yehuda used to say, maybe even this Rabbi Yehuda, it's three lines on the bottom on Mem Tesef and Aleph. It's even Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, it's the same Rav Yehuda. No, that's Rav Yehuda da Amora. So Rav Yehuda da Amora used to say that it's good to have the inside of a gourd with beets. With beets. And we said you shouldn't say this over to an Am Aretz for three reasons, four reasons. They might think it's a simple like recipe book, the Talmud, or every lady knows this recipe already, so why would you say it? Or we don't want to use up all the slacks. Or reason number four is we don't want to give such good advice to Amaratim. Either way, but you see clearly a gourd is a healthy thing for a sick person. And why? Right now we're seeing the pshat. And we saw it again. Max is pointing out we saw it on Amud Beis, Mem Tes Amud Beis. We saw beets. Right? Which part did we? We just saw, let's see. Which part did you point out that we saw on Amud Beis? Or earlier we saw. We just saw. Bit. Oh.
Negative. Yeah.
Yeah, but 1 second. That was one thing that if.
Dice on the board, yes, you have to spin
there. Right. Yeah, that could be negative, correct. But here we're seeing Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfin. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Tarfin, the reason why my face is glowing is because we had tardin last night. We had beets. So we see beets and gourds. What is the? This is the common thing. Now we're seeing it again. By the gourds. So the pshat is the Rambam is saying these two foods help a person digest their food, and the Rambam says these are the two foods a person should eat to be healthy. Out of everything, he says these two foods. You should have these beets and gourds. And the pshat is, he's saying, because that way a person, he will be able to use the bathroom at the right time and he won't have to wait, because waiting is dangerous. We know there were people who, when they wait, it could cause chaloyim royim, it could cause sicknesses. We know the story of the person who was giving a class and he didn't want to stop and the talmidim had to go to the bathroom and they became impotent, Gemara and Ksubis. That's one example, but the Rambam's not even bringing up that story. He's just saying that you have to just take care of your body. And he ends off saying that as long as a person, And he should make sure not to hold himself back, because or else, even if he eats good foods and he does the proper medicines his whole life, he's going to have machoivim, he'll have pains, toshash, and he'll have weak constitution of power. So the Rambam is saying that to hold oneself back from using the bathroom is a dangerous thing, and the Gemara is saying that all through Gemara Ksubas. So based on that, that could be a pshat. That's what one pshat, why he was checking himself. The Rabbi Yehuda said, I would go every hour to one of the bathrooms, wherever I was, even if I was on the way to the Beis Medrash. I always had a bathroom within walking distance, and therefore I wouldn't have to hold myself back even for a minute. Interestingly enough, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Vatiznach Misholem Nafshi, that he says, Yirmiyah said that when we went and had the Chorban, I was forlorn from Shalom, from my soul. So we say, what does that mean? So one pshat is, this is Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, and when we have Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, so then that helps us have Shalom bias. But then the Gemara says, one more pshat. Gemara says, could be Ezehu Ashir. One pshat is someone who has Nachas Ruach Be'ashrei, like we just said from Reb Tarfon. He has Nachas Ruach from his riches. Reb Tarfon says he has 100 field vineyards and 100 fields and 100 servants, which is again Reb Tarfon, Lishitasi. And now Reb Akiva says, if he has a wife who has beautiful actions, that's someone who's rich. And Reb Yossi says, if he has a Beis HaKisei near his table. The definition of someone who's rich is if they have a Beis HaKisei near the table. So putting it all together, it shows this idea that could be what Reb Yehuda was saying. So we
His
cover.
face is glowing because he goes to the bathroom whenever he needs to. That's
Yes.
keeps him healthy.
Keeps him healthy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a medical fact.
Yeah. So, right, exactly. So that's the pshat based on these Rambams. So it comes out three different stories with Reb Yehuda, and the Marsha says he said three different things to the three different people who asked him. The Tzaduki, he's telling him, make sure you use the bathroom whenever you need. To the Matronusa, he told her, it's because Chochmas Adam, I learned Torah, and then my neshama glows. And that was
His
it.
Rebbe turned.
And to Rebbe Tarfin, his Rebbe, he said, I eat beets when your servants gave out the beets last night, and that was what was helping me. So the Marshal says, why didn't he use the same answer all three times? Why did he switch up the answers? So he said to his Rebbe, Reb Tarfon, he couldn't say the answer that Chochmas Adam Toyer Panav, because that wouldn't be nice to say, oh, I'm so Chocham, and he's speaking to his own Rebbe. That's not nice to say that. So therefore he switched it up, and he said about how eating beets. And to the Matronusa, yeah, so and tis now, even though you'll say he was a chassid, we know Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloy, whenever it says in the Gemara, Ahu chassid, it was a chassid, we know it's either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloy, or Rabbi Yehuda bar Bava, ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloy is known as Ahu chassid. So he says, so why is it, so why did he boast to say, Chachmas Adam, Torah Panav? The Teretz is, like we said yesterday, that if you have to answer yourself up to someone who's being laughing about someone or making fun, Chil Hashem, you have to just justify and vindicate yourself. So that's the right time to say that I have Chochmah of the Torah, and therefore that's why my face is lighting up. And that's not called Gaiva. That's the right thing to say. And he's not going to tell the lady about the bathroom, because that's not Sneas. So that he didn't get into that with her. And to the Tzaduki, who was laughing at him, to the Tzaduki, who said, you know, what, why you, so you, maybe you're, so there's an interesting idea that you're Megadle Chazirin, or Malve Beribis, these types of jobs, Chazirim, the Chazirim, we know they roll around in the garbage and the excrement. And the Malve Beribis, he says, he accused him of having a type of job which is a dirty type of job. Malve Beribis is this type also, not clean type of job. So On that, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi answered each one according to where they're coming from. He said, "You think I have a dirty job? I have a clean job. I'm actually clean, as it says that I take care of myself, use the bathroom." Another Gemara in Shabbos says that he used to wash his face. With covered Shabbos, we would wash his hands and his face, and then his face would glow. And he seemed to look like a Malachi Asharis. Very fascinating Gemara. I should have copied it. But the Gemara there says that he was clean, and the cleanliness also attributed to his shining face. Okay, so either way, that could be part of the three different things. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. So Gemara, that's the Marsha. Everyone, Maral, everyone speaks about that idea. So Gemara says now, we're holding now seven lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda, kad azil lebe medrash shokal gufo gofal kasfe. Rabbi Yehuda, when he used to go to the base medrash, used to take a gofa. Now, Mr. Spiegelman, it's not what you think. A gofa is not, he thinks it's a golf ball.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I know. With your weather, you could, but with our weather, we can't. We have snow right now and ice together, but it should melt hopefully by the end of Yom Tov. So, but anyway, golfa is what Mr. Spiegelman has there, but golfa in Aramaic means a barrel. Look at the Ran. The Ran clues us in on this. Five lines before the bottom of the first on that column on the right hand side. Golfa is kankan. Kankan is a barrel, like we know. Al tistakol kankan el b'ma sheyesh, but don't look at the barrel, but look at what's inside. So here too, he would carry a barrel. He would transport barrels. But now, the question that you have to ask yourself is, what does that mean? Why did he transport barrels? So seems like we have a machlekes about this. We know, well, let's see the Ran. The Ran says one pshat. So, according to the Ran, he would take a barrel on his shoulders. Al kasve, says the Gemara. He would put it on his shoulders, and he brings the base medrash to sit on it. And so too Rashi seems to say the same thing. Same exact pshat. And the other Mefarshim also say the Rush says the same thing, Chavis Lejvalah Beis Medrash, and the Taisha says the same thing. So it sounds like that wasn't his official job, unless you say he actually transported barrels. But he did say, and his next words are, because I do this Malacha, I'm a Gedoyla Malacha Shemachabedes as Baileha. Great is the work that a person, when they work for the living, their mechabedes is baila. It makes a person honorable. So according to this, it's not that he actually worked for a living, but he did malacha. And because of that, he had somewhere to sit. And therefore the next Ran says, four lines of mechabedes is baileha, that the work makes a person honorable. He didn't have to sit on the floor. So that's a pshat. Gedoyla malacha. The malacha is great. Even this malacha that he did, that he transported the barrel to the base medrash to have what to sit on, that makes him honorable. He didn't have to sit on the floor. Tisha B'av. That's right. So if you bring your chair on Tisha B'av, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, so even though you'll say it's not honorable for me to start schlepping in a chair, you know, to some chairs they're heavy and bulky, but gedoyla malacha is great that it honors its baileha, its owner, because the one that does it will get honored. They don't have to sit on the floor. That's how the Ran learns. The Shita Mekubetas actually says a different pshat, which was also very interesting. The Shita says that was his job. Rabbi Loi, he would transport barrels. And he actually, the Shita says, look one more line further. Let's look one more line in the Gemara, because the Gemara says Rabbi Loi in one more line. So let's continue. Rabbi Shimon shokel tzina al kasve. Rabbi Shimon would carry a tzina. Tzana is a basket. He carried a basket on his shoulders. He also said, Again, the same exact thing, a basket, even though it's a little bit degrading to walk around in the marketplace with a basket, but it's the same thing. It's mechabed. He had where to sit, and therefore that also,
We sat on the basket.
yeah, sat on the basket.
Strong basket.
So, and therefore, and the Marsha speaks out, even though we know there's a halacha that a av bezdin or a leader is not supposed to be doing melacha in public. So you say, how could he do work in public? But on that, the answer that they say is, right, we know the Gemara says in Kiddushin that there was one of the Amoraim was doing Malacha, and Rabbi Cheskel Bar Yehuda came, it's the whole story, how could he do Malacha in public? So he was making a mica, he was putting a fence up. And that's a mitzvah, and the question was, how are you allowed? So he said, it's for a mitzvah. This gets into the whole thing. If it's nicker, that's for a mitzvah, so then you're allowed, like a Talmid Chacham goes shopping on Erev Shabbos, it's nicker that he's doing it for Kavod Shabbos. That's why he could go shopping. So the Marsha asks here too, how could he be carrying the barrels? Isn't that, it's not Kavod for Talmid Chacham to be walking around like that? But the Marsha answers, you see from here, there was even though there's such an idea called that a person shouldn't be doing Melacha in public, but Gedoyla, so he says, Gedoyla Melacha, says Marsha, even though it's also for Talmid Chacham to do Melacha in front of three people in public, Zu Melacha, Shomasa, Kelim, Hutzalahem. This Melacha of carrying a Keli was Mutter. Why? Bishamachabedes as Baaleha. Because it was done for his honor. It was done for him to be honored, that for his basic self-respect, he shouldn't have to sit on the floor. So therefore, that's a heter. It's another heter. That's what the Marsha answers.
Strange. Why would work be something considered degrading? Some of the prophet, they, you know,
No, it's not
they
for anyone.
were wood choppers, they were
No. This is, yeah, but this is,
menial labor.
yeah, this is for a Talmud
Say
Chacham.
they
It's for,
menial jobs
yeah, it's a good question.
that allowed them to think and
Yeah, but the question is that degrading? If you saw Rabbi Shiner doing like
I don't know.
working,
Our the greatest were like shepherds
it's a good question.
David
It's a very
Amela,
good question.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
I did. You are right. I did bring my Pirkei Avos with me. The famous Rambam speaks out, Ehoi v'samalacha. We know the Rambam goes to town on the side of Pirkei Avos here on the Mishnah. Mishnah starts.
We have
Let me just think.
oh.
Here, Mishnah starts. I don't know why the Mishnah is here, but the Mishnah speaks on the follow. Oh, yeah, it's on the Rambam. He does say, yeah, so you shouldn't use the Torah as a kardom lachkor boy, lachpar. Shouldn't use the Torah as an axe for your own needs. We know this famous story of Rabbi Tarfon here. We know the rich Rabbi Tarfon. One time there was someone who was doing something wrong. I think maybe he was, I forgot the exact details, and he was maybe someone stealing from his field, and someone was stealing from the fellow's field, and then Reb Tarfon happened to be nearby, so he took Reb Tarfon in a, and he captured Reb Tarfon. He thought Reb Tarfon was one who was stealing from the field. I think that's the details of the beginning of the story, but he put him in a sack and he's going to throw Reb Tarfon into the river. And as he's running towards the river, Reb Tarfon said, woe is to Reb Tarfon that I have to be, that this is my lot. And the man said, oy vey, this is Reb Tarfon that I have in the sack. I thought you were a thief. I must have been someone else. They took Reb Tarfon out of the sack and he let him live. But Reb Tarfon said, that's called a little bit gaining from the glory of the Torah. He used his name of Reb Tarfon in Torah to save himself. So, okay, fine. You have to do anything to save your life. But the Rambam says that you shouldn't use the Torah as an axe to glorify yourself. And someone who does, he takes chayim from himself, from chayim olam haba. And then the Rambam brings down that you see that there were great rabbis who used to all learn and used to work. And they wouldn't knock on doors asking for money from anyone. They wouldn't ask for money for their yeshivas or for their, you know, the courts. What happened? You find that they were the Ani Betachlis Anias, which is going to bring us to the next story of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, who was so poor. We're going to see one more line how he didn't want to take money. So therefore,
I just found on it says I didn't check the Makoris, the Gemara in Nedarim, Samach Beis Amud Beis, talks about Rabbi Tarfon was at a vineyard at night and he was eating grapes, which he was halakhically allowed to do under conditions like he was a worker, and that the shomer thought he was a ganav.
There you go. Shkoyach. Moshe thought he was a ganav stealing grapes. He wrapped them up and took them in a sack and was going to throw them in the river. Reb Tarfon saved himself by saying, I'm the great Reb Tarfon. So that's one case. But the Rambam goes to town in Pirkei Avos on this Mishnah Hey, that says that you see how many people they learned, but they didn't take a penny. It says, number one, Hillel Hazaken, he would chop wood. And he went on the roof. He didn't have enough. He had a tropic to pay at the door. And he was learning by Shmaya and Avtalion. He didn't have even half of his wages yet to give away. And we know how great Hillel was. We know who his Talmidim were. They were the smallest of his Talmidim was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he fracked the Rambam. Do you think if he would have asked someone from his congregation for some support, don't you think they would have helped him have support? And he didn't do it. The answer is he didn't ask for any money. Reb Chanina ben Doisa, who said the whole world is supported in his merit of him and his son. And all he has is a kav charuvin, one measure of carobs for during the week. He could have also asked for more. Karna was another dayan. He was a judge. And all these people, and you say maybe obviously the Yidden were not achzori, they were not cruel, and they obviously did chesed. So why do you find these chachamim that they were working and they didn't take money? Yeah, the answer is they were self-supporting and they were ma'amin b'Hashem Yisbarach u'b'Toras Moshe. They believed in Hashem that Hashem will give them what they need. And therefore they didn't ask for money. They saw that as a chil Hashem, because they said Torah is something where.
Exactly.
So they didn't want to take money for that, and therefore they went out and they worked. Okay. Either way, he has a long thing, and this is going to tie into the next Gemara. Let's look at the next piece. The next piece is Rabbi Yehuda kad Ozil lebe midrasha shokel golfa al kasvei. So that was the first one. That we're up to now, the next review does. And now we're up to five lines at the bottom. The Reb Yehuda, and here's the Hemshech, the continuation is Debisu de Reb Yehuda. Debisu de Reb Yehuda, the wife of Reb Yehuda, Nefakas le Noktas Amra. When she would go out, she would take the wool. Oh, she went out, she bought some wool of the Glima. She made a type of coat, which was a nice, the hutvei toiv, it was a nice type of coat. And now she sewed up a coat, kadnafkas l'shuk, l'shuka, when she went out to the market, michsaya bay, she would have what to cover herself with, a type of coat. Kadnafik Rabbi Yehuda litzaluye, but when Rabbi Yehuda went out to daven, have he would take the coat, umitzali, and go out to daven.
Shared one
They shared one garment. This is a famous Gemara.
That's all.
That's how poor they were. And when he would cover himself in the coat, have a mevarech, he made a bracha, baruch shatani, that Hashem gave me a clothing, me'il, of a fancy, nice me'il. So here you see that he was very poor. And just tying in what we just read from the Rambam in Pirkei Avos, Zimnachad, one time, Chazar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Tainisa. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel made a tainis and said everyone should come to shul, because we're having a tainis tzibur, maybe due to lack of rain. So everyone came to shul, but Reb Yehuda bar Eveloi lo yaseh lebei tadisa. Reb Yehuda bar Eveloi did not come to shul by that tainis. Why? Amar leih, so they came and they said to him, "What happened? Why didn't you come to shul?" So Reb Shimon Gamliel, they were looking for him. So he said, "Lo yisleh kesuye. I didn't have a coat. My wife was using a coat. Shadar Leg Lima. They sent them a coat. Velakibel, he didn't want to accept the coat. Dali Tzivsa, he raised up the Rashi says, he was sitting on a mat. So he picked up the mat that he was sitting on and he showed them. He says, you think I need your money? He picked up the mat and lo and behold, there was under the mat, it was gold. Look at the Mefarshim says, look at the Tosfos on the outside column. Dali Tzivsa, Perishik Bia HaMachzel, picked up the mat, Vesamach, and he relied that Hashem would show him money. Shiyim Tzishamoyis Harbe B'nais. He was Samech on Hashem, that Hashem would show him money, and lo and behold, there was a lot of money under the mat. That's what the Perish HaRash also says. Dali Tzivsa, Bia HaMachzel, Vesamach HaNais, Yerishamoyis. And lo and behold, there was money there. So he says, you think I need your money? That's why you're sending me a coat and money? Why? Because he didn't want to take money from someone based on this Rambam. Le he said to the shliach who was at, from the Reb Shimon Gamliel, who was asking him, take my coat. Chazimayeka, you see what I have? I have loads of money here. I don't need your money. So, miha. I don't want to take hana from someone else in this world. Or he says, maybe I don't want to have hana
Gold.
from the gold. I have money, but maybe this was Maisa Nisim, and I don't want to take hana from the Maisa Nisim, from a nace. Just like we know the famous story in Tainus where there was Rebbe, I'm not sure who it was, but it could be it's Rebbe Huda also, where they went to the valley and because there was a story where Rebbe, where there was a wife who needed money, and they stretched out a golden leg of a table to him and gave it for his wife. But when he heard about it, he was very upset, and he said,
Shemai,
he,
it's one of his table or something.
yeah, yeah. So he said, I don't want to have Hadar from it in this world. And he asked Hashem to take it back. And they said, that miracle is bigger than the first miracle. To give a golden foot of the table is a big miracle. But to take back, usually they don't take back. But there, this was another story, the same exact idea, where he didn't want to take
Nice.
money. Maisa Nisim, even as long as he didn't want to take money from other people. Okay, either way, let's go back.
I think you're hitting money. Didn't want to take this from Masa Nisan.
That's why he didn't want to take.
That's
That's why he
good.
didn't want
That's
to take on
good.
the bat, but
Yeah,
he didn't
that's
want to
good.
take the money from the from Reb Shimon ben Gamliel either. That is because he didn't want to take money from other
He
people, like
wanted his independence.
the Rambam is saying here. Correct. He looked at his
But
bill.
that was Reb Chanina ben Dosa, whose wife he got he wanted it, and then I mean he's I mean, his wife wanted it, and then he davened for it, and he got the table, and then his wife and then he told his wife what they'll be missing up in Shamayim. And his wife said, no, in that case, give it back.
Exactly.
And women
That's
in
Rabbi
these
Chanina ben Daisa.
stories are all practical and better. I like the story with that you told with your
You're,
butt with the
yeah,
etrog.
correct. Your wife wants the, you know, wife wants the asterisk, and she wants these
His
to
wife
have.
wants to sell the cell that's filled with
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
and
yeah, 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 yeah,
Parnassa.
yeah, yeah, yeah. There is, it's true.
And he was.
Anyway, this is the common denominator here. That's why this Rambam is very important. They looked at taking money as a chil Hashem. They looked at taking money as a chil Hashem, and therefore they did not take anything all their life, and they would go work. And he brings down even the Rambam even says, how do you even touch up? What does that mean? Why is he bringing the food? She was she brought the food, but did she do work? It has to be with work. The Rambam is answering up all these questions. Gedoyle melacha, he says, Shemechamemes is baila. It makes a person get heated up. It's good. That's where we find the famous story with, not sure who this was. Alan could probably help me out with the Tana Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi, I think his name was. He was carrying wood and he met he was carrying wood, maybe, not sure. Says that that was a story where they asked him to help out. I'm not sure if that's probably not the same person because there he helped someone out, but he didn't want to help him and carry it because he held it was degrading. But he says there were certain Amoraim who would carry wood. because it would be
Wait, that
mechamim as baile. It would help a person get heated up, and that helps a person serve Hashem.
sometimes we get slow down into creating like this. That's how we started this whole thing. That
Okay.
even though you might think that carrying the barrel on the shoulder would be look degrading, but since it ultimately will give them kavod, it's not
Right.
something to sit on, that's okay.
That's okay. Right. That's okay. So what we see from this, now let's take this all back. This is just Rabbi Yehuda ben Loy. You see how poor he was. He was so poor that he had to share the coat with his wife. So let's go back. So Rabbi Yehuda, now
This
go back.
could this be a Hillel who was a wood chopper for he would work.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, Hillel was the wood chopper. He worked. He got a hat to a tropic.
That's the one
He,
who climbed on the roof and they froze and.
right. Could be. Yeah, very good. So that's this is this Rambam here. So let's go back. Bring it back to our Gemara. Rabbi Loi, you see how poor he was. So using that idea that he was so poor. So now let's go back. Rabbi Loi, when he went to Beis Medrash, he took a golfer al kasvei. So Mr. Spiegelman, what is a golfer again? A go A not a golf ball, a
Harold.
barrel. He took a barrel on his shoulder. So you see from here that he was so poor, he did melacha. He did whatever he needed. He would transport barrels, but according to one pshat is he took the barrel and he would have a place to sit. He wouldn't have to sit on the floor. The Shita Mikubetza says a different pshat. The Shita Mikubetza says that he was so poor that he went to do work. As working as to transport barrels, and he says very fascinating. Says the Shita Mekubetz says, "Shaloi talis." He didn't have a talis because his wife would take the talis, so he wouldn't be able to take the talis. It's like the car, you know, the car is in use now. So.
Talis being just a jacket, but not what we wear on in Beis HaMedrash,
Oh, so
right?
he didn't have like a jacket. So his wife had the jacket. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, Shoko Gulfa. He took a barrel, Leschase's boy, to cover himself. But he Meschase, he would cover himself with the barrel, and then he would carry it from place to place, and he would look like Ke'ilu. He looked like he was a porter who was bringing the barrel from place to place. And it wasn't nicker that he really didn't have the proper cloak. Somehow he put it on top of himself, and his head went out of one side, and his body was on the other side. And says Hashim, that's a pshat. Shoko Golfa, because he didn't have the proper coat, but he made believe he's a porter, and he's, you know, put the, you know, he made it like it's an easy way to transport the barrel. And that way, it wouldn't be nicker that he was without clothes. And on that, he said, Godo Melacha. You do the malacha, great is someone who works, because it brings honor to those the owners. Because here, if I wouldn't have had the barrel, I would have been so embarrassed to walk out without my coat in the street. It was an embarrassing thing. But now I have the barrel to put on top of me, and no one realizes that I don't have a coat. That's a different shot from the Shita of the Kubetzes. Either way, very fascinating. But one question they do say is on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who is Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon took a basket and he brought it into the shul and he sat down. That was his seat, so he wouldn't be embarrassed to sit on the floor. Oh, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, correct. Your Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda bar Beloi. Ask the Meiri, so how could he do that? But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was the one that said that. Not the work. Gemara in Bechira says, Miniach, how he saw someone, he says, how could you, he says, Miniach, Chai Olam, Isaac Bechaya Shaw. Remember, he went out of the cave. He said he saw a person working on the field. He says, that man is Miniach, Chai Olam. He's leaving the life forever. And he's Isaac and Chai Shaw. He's working on the field for, which will help him for a few years. So how could it be? So the question is, that's, how could here Rav Shimon bar Yochai do work? I thought he said you're not supposed to be working. That's the Meiri's kasha. But now there's an interesting teretz that they say in the back of the Gemara, the Maariv Tzchias. You hear the kasha?
Yeah, except that. Yeah, but what, well, why can't it be the same answer as Rabbi? He was also poor, no?
According to Shita Mekubetz says?
Yeah,
No, but he used a barrel. This is a basket.
so he's
The
using the
basket to
basket to
cover him.
pretend like he's covering himself
I don't
well.
know if Shita Mekubetz was poor. Okay.
What do you
You
mean?
said.
He didn't work. How is he not poor?
But I thought this was just target, so you could sit on it.
So okay, so we'll have to see.
I don't understand that if you don't work, it doesn't mean to say you poor.
Yeah, so you have to know. We have to look up if he's poor. But Len has a different terrace. What's your terrace?
So I thought
he said
so he's going to just use it to sit on. So he's not performing labor. He's just using it to sit in the base bench.
Oh, and it, therefore it's mutter.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Says the Yavetz. The Yavetz is Maritzchius. Maritzchius in the back of the Gemara. It says he wants to answer up this Kasha. He asks Max the question. Reb Shimon ben Yochai was the one who said, Efshar Adam Zerea b'Shazria, if you plant in the times of plantings and you harvest in times of harvest, Torah mat hey aleha, what will be with the Torah? Gemara brachas deflamet heyam and beis. Hooray, we see that he said you shouldn't be working. And on that, he answered, Ulam, ein bazeh, shum hascholas kusha. It's really not even a kasha. The hooray, this that he carried the basket was b'shvil Torah. It was for the Torah, says Len. Also, you saw this already, the Maritzchias? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, he brought the basket to sit on, and he didn't want to sit on the ground. It was degrading to sit on the ground. And he brings the Rambam in Pirkei Avos, who says you shouldn't use the Torah for an axe to glorify yourself. And the Rambam here, he says, brings many Tanoim who did work. We saw Hillel, we saw Karna, the Maritzchias. Why didn't we bring Reb Shimon bar Yochai, who brought a basket to sit on? That's also
Well, that
Malacha.
wasn't work, though. He didn't do it for money.
Right.
Oh, okay. So the Teretz is, says the Maritzchias, is the Pshat is because he did it only so he could learn Torah better and he shouldn't be embarrassed. So therefore, Lashon, it says, that's what it says, Shem Mechabedes by Leho. He did it. It was Mechubad. It was, so he shouldn't have sat on the ground. So on that, that's not called working stam. Working stam, we mean is this is done in gufa and able to him to learn Torah. Reb Shimon bar Yochai was saying you should be learning Torah your whole life. You shouldn't be planting and plowing and harvesting. But this was gufa to help him learn Torah. That's why it's mutter.
They specifically went for jobs mundane, like
yeah,
where you don't have to use your mind so that they can think of it in Torah.
Very geschmack. Actually, there's another teretz that's brought down. Is that this the kasha was the itis takes away from Torah. Torah says, but this type of job, he was a simple porter, even if you say he was a porter, but that was not that doesn't take it didn't take away him from learning. He was able to learn while he was doing that job. So therefore, that's another answer on this kasha.
I thought that the idea was because at some point people unfortunately couldn't discern, here's a menial labor. Why should we listen to this rab? Like that's when we learned with the Shabbos Aveda, it said even a Talmud Chacham, if he's going to have to stoop down and pick something up, he's not, it's beneath his dignity. So I thought it was about showing people covet the Torah that you have to treat the Talmud Chacham differently. He's not one of you.
Right. That's
So
why
I thought that was the
he himself can't
danger.
do work.
I thought that was the danger of this is the people come to see that, well, he's no different than us. Why should he be judging?
That's well. That well. It's not covered for a Talmud Chacham to be carrying a basketball to return it for a Shabbos Aveda.
Yeah, so I thought that's similar here, where if he's engaged in something that people will say, well, he's
The optics
it's,
look bad.
the optics don't look good. And then also, why should we? He's just one
Well,
of us.
that's what Marsha is asking that Kasha. How could he do Malach in front of three people? A Talmud Chacham is not supposed to do work. And on that, he's saying that this is
Going to help him
even still
to
Gedoyla that it
cover.
helped him learn Torah. So,
And
and
also,
he.
it's going to give him cover because he'll, rather than sitting on the floor, he'll be sitting on a
Oh,
chair.
for this, I
So
understand. Yeah.
I'm, yeah,
Yeah.
so that's the answer. Even though it temporarily is beneath, it looks beneath his dignity and
Yeah,
humility.
Lefisha Mechabedes. This gufa gave him cover. This brought him cover. He didn't have to sit on the floor. So the whole thing is it's degrading to do work in front of three people. But here it's gufa
Yeah,
bringing
this
him
I thought,
cover.
yeah, I meant like paid menial labor, which I guess that's why there was a machlokas. Some said it's going to be beneath, the people aren't going to believe, aren't going
Yeah,
to
so this is
respect.
the tension here. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos is saying not that these Chachamim wanted to do it because they didn't want to take any money, like Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Loi didn't want to take money. But on the other hand, correct. On the other hand, we're bringing down that this idea of not to do work in front of three people.
Right.
It's a very interesting tension here. Now, there's one more question that we have to ask. Okay, that's number one. That's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, that he took the barrel on his shoulder, to pshat him, why he did it. Okay, and the Shita Mekubetz is his pshat. And then we have Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and he also did it because it was mechabit him.
About yourself. How do you yourself, right? Your self-respect. I'd rather do, let's say, menial work than have to take money from. I think that's part of the judgment.
Yes. You're saying what? That
In
he
terms of
wanted to
self,
look
it's not
himself
only
as
about the optics, about how to look to others, it's about what you think about yourself.
yeah, it's true. True. Self-respect also, correct. Correct. Okay, fine. Now let's go to the one more question here, which is very big question. That they ask here with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, he had this glima, he had this type of coat that he wore and his wife wore. Now, the question that everyone asks here is, how could he do that? He isn't there a problem
Oh,
of like,
wearing women's clothing.
yes. How is he allowed to wear his
Bending.
wife's coat? Correct. So Frek de Marsha asked once again.
He was like,
Yes, yeah. Or
Huh?
it was just a
raincoat.
raincoat.
Yeah.
No fashion, no style.
Oh, so on that, right, he says that this is the Chiddush. He says, venerally, that it was made like a me'il. And he comes to say that even though his wife went out with it to the marketplace, there's no problem of le'yilpash gever simlas isha, because that's davka beged miyuchad le'isha. It's only when you wear a lady's coat, avo beged me'il, like a raincoat. It's made for both.
But either, I mean, either could wear it.
Yeah, a raincoat. Some raincoats are made. You can't really tell. So on that, it's okay. And it brings down. That's not a problem of Le'il Bash Kever Simla Sisha. That's an important halacha which the Chida also brings down. So this is an important thing that they all bring down. Chida says we learn that out, which is a whole thing. And it's based on the idea of the chinuch that says that the reason of this mitzvah is that if a person will start to wear ladies' clothes and
Hang
a
out with the
wig,
way
he'll start to
the
hang out with
ladies.
the ladies, and then it's a dangerous thing. And this is what Hashem did, laharchik, to help distance us from something which could keep a person away. This helps from Dvar Erva, because if a person, Hashem hates Zima, he hates Zinus, and therefore he did this. This is an ugly thing, right? When they start mixing, and a person could mix. Ain't Suffolk, if a man would be able to wear ladies' clothing, then they'll start to mix with each other, and he would mingle, and Malahar at Zima, and then it'll come to Zinus, the whole world, which is a terrible thing, where we said, it's, plus it comes up in the Parsha, and so therefore, that's the Rambam's idea to be marchik from Zenos, which is an interesting thing, especially nowadays. They're trying to make that there's like everyone could mix. There's not men's bathrooms and ladies' bathrooms. There's
Other worlds.
so it is not good. So that's the idea here. It's only when it's done and a person will be taking a lady's clothing, right? And a man takes a lady's clothes, a lady takes a man. But here, that wasn't the problem. Okay, so that's important. And it says there that he would take the coat and he made a bracha, Baruch She'atani Me'il. Very interesting. The bottom line on the page, it says he would make a bracha. Right? Actually, it says he would, two lines on the bottom, three lines on the bottom. The last one is Baruch She'atani Me'il. And the Ran says over here, what is She'atani Me'il? So the Ran says on the bottom line, She'yachoshu be'enav kime'il. Me'il is a chosh of a beged, and he made a bracha, Shatani Me'il. Yeah,
What's
yeah.
that? What's that tani? What's that
A
lotion?
tani, the Ran said it means to wear. Hashem, he made a bracha that Hashem has.
Any other words that sound see what that means for you? I mean, I believe you. I just want to know the word. Get a
Yeah,
feel
so the
for what the
Rashi
word is.
just says on the bottom line, Shaykhaviv. Didn't have another coat, just that one. The Rush is the same thing. The Taisvis says the same thing. So no, they don't say, but it means to be wearing. So he made a bracha, Baruch Hashem, that when he put this on, it comes to the word levush. We'll have to look up the Aramaic word afterwards. But what we're seeing here is that it was they're all coming to ask Akasha that the Me'il is really a chashva beged. So how could he say Shatani Me'il if it wasn't so chashuv? So they're saying that in his eyes it was chashuv. He made a bracha. It was chashuv kime'il, says the Ran, even though it wasn't such a fancy beged, but from him he didn't have anything. So for him that was chashuv. So this brings up the big shaila: do you make a bracha when you get a fancy coat or something? Shechiyanu. Do you make a shechiyanu? Do you make bracha? Or some people say malvish arumim. So the halacha is a koine beged chadash. So if it's something where it's something that he's happy about, he makes a bracha shechiyanu. If
Here he's not making a shechianu. He's just, it's raining and he's happy that he has a raincoat.
oh, correct. So he says, as long as you have to feel simcha, then you can make a shechiyanu if you get a new suit. If you get a new suit, a new talis, you make a shechiyanu. It's a Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Brachos. When you're going to buy it and wear it. So this is a halacha that's brought down. Now you're right. We don't say that bracha, but this is a halacha which is important halacha to know. You have to be happy about it. It has to be a shtreimel. That's thousands of dollars. A shetel is also could be thousands of dollars. Expensive hat. That could also whatever. So far, Borsellino is in the, it's the hundreds. It was $420 5 years ago. They just
In
Borsellino big.
the old country, I used to wear the fur hat in the snow.
Levels now.
Yeah,
No Borsellino.
they have the
They split
different.
it up so the poor man can get in at the bottom. And
is this considered a source for saying Shachyan?
So this is similar. It's very similar because it says by Shechiyanu, you need. Usually, we don't make a Shechiyanu by stam, stam garments. You have gloves, pajamas, scarves. That we don't make that on. But if you have something that you really are happy about, he says, if you're wealthy and you're not so happy about it, you don't make it. Even if you get the nicest suit in the world, if you're not happy, you don't say Shechiyanu. But let's say you have shoes that bring you happiness, then you make a Shechiyanu. If they're fancy shoes,
Very
the
subjective.
custom is,
Very subjective.
yeah, it's subjective. As long as them shoes are not made out of leather, because leather came through killing an animal, so you don't make a shechiyanu for killing an animal for leather. But other than that, if you get a fancy pair of
Well,
shoes,
Shrine will be knocked out then too. That came through killing an animal.
I hear it's a good ha'ara. It's a good ha'ara. We'll have to find out what they do. But even if it's secondhand, if you get a secondhand item that brings you tremendous joy, you make a shechiyanu when you put it on. Now, should you also say Malbisharumim is a Shaila? Some say you do it together with the Shechiyanu, but the minhag is we just say Shechiyanu. And when you say Shachris, you have in mind when you say Malbisharumim. So this is interesting. We don't, this is all Malbisharumim Shechiyanu, but the Gemara here says he made a bracha, Shatani, right? Shatani Me'il. Shatani Me'il. It's an interesting bracha, which is similar. But it's the same idea. Same idea. He was very happy about it, so he
He
made
made
that
like a
bracha.
full profit.
He made a bracha. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Either way, let's go back to the Gemara. So this is the fascinating Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda bar Biloy, how he made that bracha when he put it on. Now, so let's go back to the Gemara. So now we're on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Nun Amud Aleph, and now we're up to the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is Iskachas Le'ei. Rabbi Akiva got kiddushin from his wife to his wife Rachel. He got married to Rachel. Now we all know this whole story. This is brought down in Avos Reb Nosson, brought down there. It's also brought down in Ksubas. Meanwhile, Shama Kalba Savua. We know Rachel had a father who was very wealthy. His name was Kalba Savua. He was so rich that anyone who walked into his house as hungry as a kelev came out, Savua came out very full. So that's, yeah. So that's, I think that's what his name was, Kalba Savua. And basically, he wanted his daughter to marry someone who was respectable. Rabbi Akiva was just a shepherd, and he was an Amoraite at that time. He wasn't learned, but
She saw potential.
she saw the potential in him. Correct.
Big time.
So,
Big time.
therefore, she saw his midos tavis. It says she saw his milus, his midos tavis, and therefore, even though he's an Amoraite, she said, "I'll marry you on one condition: if it's kaddish lach, will you go to the Beis Medrash and learn Torah?" And he said, "Yes." So therefore, she married him in private before in two Adim, but no one else knew. And she sent him to learn. And he was 40 years old. And he went to he didn't know anything. So she said, "Go learn in the shul, in the class with the kids." Aleph Beis. He said, "I'm so embarrassed. They're going to laugh at me." So she said, "Look at this. I want to show you an experiment." She took a donkey and she made a little incision in the back, and she inserted a branch. And she put mud all around it, dirt all around it. And she said, "Let's walk through the marketplace with a branch growing out of the donkey's back. And everyone's going to laugh at, watch how much they'll laugh at you the second day and the third day." So the first day they went, everyone was laughing and pointing. The second day, they were a little bit, not so much now, they weren't laughing. The fourth day, fifth day, they didn't even look at her and him when they walked through the market with the donkey, with the plant growing through the back. So she said, "Go sit down. You'll learn Aleph Beis. They'll laugh at you the first day and the second day, but then they'll get used to you." So that's what he did. He learned Aleph Beis, and then he built himself up until he learned Kol HaTorah Kula, says Avos D'Reb Nosson. He learned the whole Torah. So now we continue. Shama Kabasavua, who was her father, heard that she married such an Amoraite, V'Adra Hano'a Mikol Nechasei. He made a neder against her that he said to his daughter, "You married such a person, I won't give you any benefit. Make a neder, you want to benefit from my property, any of my property," which is fascinating. As long as you're married to that man, you're not getting it. And if you divorce, if you get divorced, then you could come back and you could have hanaf from my property. That was his response. Now, it's a fascinating story. It was his pressure. He's trying to pressure her in order to try to get her to get divorced. But she didn't go for it. And what happened further was, we know the end of the story. Rabbi Akiva at that time was an Amoraite, and he says that before he learned Torah, when he saw Talmid Chacham, he wanted to bite the Talmid Chacham like a dog. That's how much he hated Talmid Chacham before he learned. But either way, what happened was, Ozla, she went, Ve'is nasiva lebesisva. She got married to him it means in the fall, where it was getting cold. And have a ganube tivna, and they were and ganube they were sleeping in a house of tevan, where there was just straw. And we know this Gemara. It was a barn, and they had just straw to cover themselves. That was the mesiras nefesh that you see. That even in the wintertime, they got married, even though they didn't have enough heat and they didn't have a proper bedding and they had to sleep in such a place. And what happened? The next words are very important. Having called not minkat le tivna, he used to gather out the pieces of straw, min mizaya, from her hair every morning. And because it gets stuck in the hair. So she told her, Amrullah, he told her, Iavoili, if I would have for myself enough money, Ramina Lech Yerushalayim Dedava, I would buy and give you to put for you a Yerushalayim Dedava, a golden Yerushalayim. What's a golden Yerushalayim? It's a type of headband that we know the Gemara and Shabbos speaks about how you're allowed to, ladies could walk out with different types of jewelry. So the Gemara there says that. What one example is this called? It's called the Yerushalayim Dedava. Yerushalayim Dedava is a gold type of, I think it's a headband. And the Gemara there says that, like we know,
it has like a design of Yerushalayim.
have a design of Yerushalayim on it. And the Gemara there in Shabbos says, just like we know, Rabbi Akiva made for his wife a golden Yerushalayim headband. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he was asked, "How do you know he made it? All we see in our Gemara is one thing, that he promised his wife that he would make it, But where do you ever find that he actually made it? How can the Gemara and Shabbos bring it as a raya that a lady's allowed to walk out with the Yerushalayim Tadava? What's Yerushalayim Tadava? Like the one that Rebbe Akiva made for his wife. So Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky answered back, if Rebbe Akiva said that he's going to make it, if he gets money, he for sure did it. He kept his word. There's no Shiloh. That's how the Gemara and Shabbos could rely to give that as an example of someone that has to keep their word. Someone will keep their word. Rebbe Akiva said it, he'll do it. So to hear, Rebbe Akiva promised his wife, and here is a lesson. You have to tell your wife, whatever you could do, you'll do. If it means buying her Yishlaim Shel Zav, you buy Yishlaim Shel Zav. If it means that she needs to redo the kitchen, you say, if we have money, we'll redo the kitchen. If you have to borrow money, I'll redo the kitchen. And that is a lesson that you see from Rebbe Akiva. He didn't knock her away and say, what do you need, a golden tiara, a golden type of crown? He said, if I had money, I will. And says Rebbe Chaim, and he did buy it. He got money and he did buy it for her. Fascinating. Okay, so Gemara continues with that. But at that point, they did not have money. And it said, also Eliyahu Navi came. It may lehoin kanosha. And he looked like a regular person. Eliyahu Navi comes in this world as two ways. Either he comes like Eliyahu Navi, he comes like to a bris, but you can't see him, or he comes like a regular person, dresses up. And here he came like a regular person. Nafka mina ladina is if you're allowed to learn a halacha from him. This is the Chassam Sefer says, if he comes like a malach, then we don't are not obligated. But if he comes like a person, then he's in this world. So you can learn halachas from what he says. So what happened? Kokari Le'abava, he was knocking on the door. And he asked them, they said, Amar Lahu, and they asked, who's there? So he said, I'm a poor man, Hovali Porta Tativna. Could you give me a little bit of straw? Delay das itsisi. My wife just gave birth. For Leslie Midam Laguna, I don't even have straw to protect her that she could lie down on straw. Rebbe Akiva took the hint from Eliyahu Navi, and he said to Leintase, he said to his wife, Chazi, look, Gavra dafil tivna la yisla. You think you're poor? We are rich. We have tevin. Look at that person. He doesn't even have straw. And Rebbe Victor Miller would always say that you have to take lessons from the world, right? The Ran here speaks out over here. Look at the Ran. The Ran speaks out two lines on the top. Rabina l'cha Yerushalayim d'dava. I'll get you a golden Yerushalayim. Takshel Yishol Zov. Yerushalayim b'tzuyerba. It's a golden type of jewelry where Yerushalayim was made on. V'achi avad la k'disa perk b'maisha. V'achi avad la. Says the Ran, this is what Rebbe Akiva did. He made for her a golden Yerushalayim. As we say, b'maisha. But I look up the Gemara in Shabbos Nuntes. It doesn't say that he made it. It says that that's what ladies walked out with. So they asked, so this is my teretz from Reb Chaim Kanievsky on the Ran. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Hochi Yavadla, who told the Ran that he made it? Because he gave his word. If he said he blew it, he did it. Next Ran, Os Elio idmi lehoin kianosha. Elio came, he looked like a man, kidei lenache myself, to comfort them. Laharais lahem, sheishaniyim yoyselem, to show them you don't feel bad. There's people who are poorer than you. And therefore, Rebbe Victor Miller said, you always have to take a lesson. If you see someone who has an unfortunate situation, you have to appreciate what you have. You used to go to the hospitals and see people who are dialysis, and you say, you have to thank Hashem that you could use the bathroom. You say, you are as rich as a king. If you don't feel like a king, then if you don't feel it and you don't appreciate it, then you don't have it. Rebbe Berkowitz says, if you don't appreciate what you have, then you don't have it. You might have it. Okay, we're able to see. We won't bump into the walls, but we don't appreciate our eyesight. Pakei Achivrim should be a joyous occasion when we say that bracha. Malbish Arumim, right? We don't have to walk around with a barrel on top of ourselves. So Rebbe Victor Miller would say, you have to appreciate what you have and take a lesson when people that you see that don't have that, you have to thank Hashem that we do. Okay, fine. Bez Hashem. We'll have the Erev Yotah. So we'll have a shiur before Mincha both days. 6:30 the first day, 6 the second day. 6:30
is before.
Yes.
Good Yontif.
Good Yontif. Mincha 7:35. So we'll have Mincha, we'll have shiur 6:35. And the second day is earlier because they're going to make like a Ne'ilas Sachag. So we'll do.
The shiur, we're just continuing.
No, so we're not going to continue on this. Yeah, this is that was we had a Pesach sugya last time, but this we'll do a Pesach inyan, something on Pesach. Okay, Alan, have a good Yom Tov.
was this year.
Jeremy, have a great Yom Tov.
Meshkila for not coming to the shiur on Yom Tov.
Yeah, we'll mark you. We'll mark you. Come visit us. Come back to visit. Okay.
Okay.
Good Yom Tov.
Good Yom Tov.
Okay.